Welcome to the Rich Thoughts Podcast, where our goal is to glorify God and terrify the devil. Get ready. It's going to be a great journey.
Good morning and welcome to Rich Thoughts for Breakfast.
I'm Harold Herring, and that's my fine wife, Beth. On today's call, we're going to talk about seven reasons your lot in life is a good thing. You ever heard someone say, well, it's just my lot in life? Such an unscriptural statement is usually spoken by someone who's just lost what they felt they deserved or should have won, filling them with, well, they didn't, and it fills them with a certain amount of sudden frustration. Saying it's my lot in life typically indicates a lack of faith or hope. Those whose words are spoken by people who determine they'll never be able to change or improve their situation. These sentiments certainly aren't from the Word of God. Psalm 16, verses 5 and 6. 16, 5 and 6. The Lord is the portion of mine inheritance and of my cup. Thou maintainest my lot. The lines have fallen unto me in pleasant places. Yea, I have a goodly heritage. In examining Strong's Concordance, we felt the Hebrew word maintainest is H8551. H8551, it means to grasp, support, attain, lay hold of, to be held, to be seized. And if we go a little bit further, you know, we'll find that the Hebrew word for lot, H1486 means lot, portion, recompense, retribution. We've discovered that people tend to focus on the last part of that verse, not the first. The Lord is the portion of mine inheritance and of my cup. If we're maintaining, it's our inheritance from the Lord, and it's most certainly unrestricted. The New Living Translation of Psalm 16, 5 and 6 says it this way, Lord, you alone are my inheritance, my cup of blessing. You guard all that is mine. The land you've given me is a pleasant land. What a wonderful inheritance. Does that sound like limitation to you? Of course not. Here are seven reasons your lot in life is a good thing.
Yes, indeed. We're just not used to that, using that phrase.
That's true.
First, we can choose the best. If having the option of choosing the best in life, why in the world would you settle for anything but the best? Or what was perceived to be, you know, there a lot. You don't settle for it. 1 Corinthians 12:31 Classic Amplified Bible says, but earnestly desire and zealously cultivate the greatest and best gifts and graces.
Yes.
The higher gifts and the choice graces. And yet I will show you a still more excellent way, one that is better by far and the highest of them all, love. Does it sound like God wants us to settle for less than his best as our lot in life? Once again, we just don't think this is it.
Second, the choice is yours, not anybody else's. Deuteronomy 11:26, New Living Translation. Look, today I'm giving you the choice between a blessing and a curse. Well, according to the scripture, clearly the choice is ours.
That's it.
Growing up, your parents made choices for you. There comes a point in time, an age of accountability, where you become responsible for the choices you make. Either good, well, they're either good or bad. Truthfully, there also can be life and death decisions. Deuteronomy 30:11, New Living Translation. The choice of life or death, this command I'm giving you today, is not too difficult for you to understand and is not beyond your reach.
Wow.
Our choice is all predicated on our obedience to the Word of God.
That's right. Third, you must obey, or excuse me, you must put God first. In a sense, obeying. But Proverbs 3:4-6 in the Living Bible says, if you want favor with both God and man, and a reputation for good judgment and common sense, then trust the Lord completely. Don't ever trust yourself. In everything you do, put God first, and He will direct you and crown your efforts with success. It says God will. The scripture doesn't say, well, He might get around to it, or He could, or He should. Scripture says that we can count on Him directing us if we put Him first. Then He's going to direct and crown our efforts with success. Psalm 90, verse 17 in the New Living Translation says, and may the Lord our God show us His approval and make our efforts successful. Yes, make our efforts successful.
I love that verse.
I know you do. So when we put God first, not doubting His word or the promises, standing on Him, in other words, He will show His approval of our faithfulness by making our efforts, the things that we're putting our hands to, successful.
Glory. Fourth, God must be your only God. Exodus chapter 20, verse 3. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. If money becomes so important that it messes up your priorities, then it's a god. Money can cause a person to ignore not only the true God, but family, friends, and other things that offer true value. Please notice that I said money can cause us to ignore what should be our first love. I didn't say that it will cause misplaced priorities. I said it can. See, the choice is clearly ours to make based on personal relationship with our Heavenly Father. We will either seek Him or the idols of this world. Many seek money or other idols in search of what's missing in their lives. That which can only be satisfied by a personal relationship with the Lord. Once people find God, their priorities most usually straighten out.
That's right.
So the key, always put God first.
Five, God has chosen you. In John 15, verse 16, it says, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit and that your fruit should remain. That whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. When the scripture says that we're to bring forth fruit and that our fruit should remain, that doesn't sound to me like he just wants us to accept whatever lot we are running around with in life. Hardly. This is especially true when we consider the last part of the verse, which says that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. So if our Heavenly Father is willing to give us whatever we ask him for, does it sound like he wants us to accept our lot in life as some reason to not do anything or do anything well? I would say certainly not. Here's the really good news. When we're productive for the kingdom of God, he will give us whatever we ask of him.
Glory.
What an offer. You know, we'd have to be a hamburger short of a Happy Meal.
I know it.
To not take advantage of this incredibly life-changing offer.
Six, you will receive a house and a yard. God not only wants you on a house, but houses. Deuteronomy 6:11. And houses full of all good things, which thou fillest not, and wells diggeth, which thou diggest not, and vineyards and olive trees, which thou plantest not, when thou shalt have eaten and be full. Now, I can tell you, you may be thinking, yes, but Brother Harold, Sister Bev, I lost my home due to foreclosure, or what happened during COVID, or I've been evicted from the house because I couldn't pay the rent. Please understand this in the spirit in which we're saying it. Don't fret about past loss. Embrace and anticipate future gain. Nehemiah 5:11, Contemporary English Version. You must restore their fields, vineyards, olive groves, and homes to them this very day. And repay the interest you charged when you lent them money, grain, new wine, and olive oil. If we go a little further to Nehemiah 9:25 in the Contemporary English Version, listen to what it says. They captured strong cities and rich farmland. They took furnished houses as well as cisterns vineyards, olive orchards, and numerous fruit trees. They, till they were satisfied, and they celebrated your abundant blessings. Your Heavenly Father not only wants you to have a house, He wants you to have houses. Matthew 19:29, Classic Amplified. And anyone and everyone who has left houses or brothers, sisters, or father or mother, or children or lands for my name's sake will receive many, even 100 times more, and will inherit eternal life. Have you noticed in each of these verses it refers to houses? God wants you to own houses. Now, this would be a good time to shout hallelujah.
Mm-hmm. Seventh, you are made His heir. Romans 8:16-17. Romans 8:16-17 in the Classic Amplified says, "For His Spirit joins with our spirit to affirm that we are God's children. And since we are His children, we are His heirs. In fact, together with Christ, we are heirs of God's glory." We are, what it's saying is, we are a joint heir with Christ. And Romans 8:17 says this, "And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ." According to Strong's Concordance, the Greek word for heirs is G2818. G2818, it means one who receives a lot, an heir, one who has acquired or obtained the portion allotted to him. Galatians 3:29 in the Classic Amplified, Galatians 3:29 says, "And if you belong to Christ, are in Him who is Abraham's seed, then you are Abraham's offspring and spiritual heirs according to the promise." The Greek word for joint heirs means a fellow heir, one who obtains something assigned to him with others, a joint participant. The term heir is most frequently used today in legal documents like a last will and testament. And since we are joint heirs with Christ, our right to an inheritance rises and falls with Jesus. The word joint literally means intertwined and made into one. So point is, we could go on, but here is the bottom line. If we're joint heirs with Christ to an inheritance, then what is His is also ours.
Hallelujah.
There is no inheritance until someone dies, and Jesus paid the ultimate price and died so that we could accept this New Testament, will and testament, and He could give us the inheritance that took sin away.
Hallelujah. Think on these things.
Yeah.
Monday, September 4th, Labor Day.
Yes.
Will be the 27th year that you and I have prayed for people on Labor Day.
Are you that old?
I am, but you're not.
Yeah. We have prayed a number of years and had a lot of great testimonies.
Fabulous testimonies.
Be looking at your email tomorrow, because we're going to send out, you may have already gotten one, but you're going to get one that allows you to tell us what you want us to pray about. And we definitely take that seriously.
Yes, we do. Just when you see it, there's a link you click where you give us the information
Lots
that we need to pray for you.
Yep, specific information.
And just do that.
Yeah.
And we'll be praying for you on Labor Day.
Don't worry about anything. Pray about everything and make specific requests is what it says.
God.
And so we'll pray in agreement with you. We sure will.
Amen. Well, till tomorrow morning at 8:30, God bless you. Happy trails.
And keep thinking rich thoughts from the Word of God.
We love you. We appreciate you. Bye-bye.